Welcome to the Lean Blog Podcast. Visit our website at www.leanblog.org. Now, here's your host, Mark Graben.
Hi, this is Mark Graben, and this is episode number 57 of the Lean Blog Podcast for January 12th, 2009. My guest today, I'm very happy to have Alfie Cohn, who's an author and lecturer who's written about a number of topics in education, parenting, and human behavior. Now, you might think if you're a regular listener to the podcast that this is a bit off topic, but I reached out to Alfie after we had some really good discussion on the Lean blog in regards to a story in the news about Chicago Public Schools giving incentive payments to high school students for earning A's and B's and C's, and the pros and cons of that. What were the tie-ins to industry or other business or organizational settings? So I reached out to Alfie because he's done a lot of writing on this topic, a number of books, including Punished by Rewards, The Trouble with Gold Stars, Incentive Plans, A's, Praise, and Other Bribes. Hopefully you'll find this thought-provoking and interesting to think about the Deming philosophy and what we do in organizations. I think Alfie makes a very compelling and interesting case of why some of these practices should be questioned. So as always, thanks for listening. Well, again, our guest here on the Lean Blog Podcast is Alfie Cohn. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Well, I was wondering if you could start off by introducing yourself for the audience, your background, and how it is you've gotten to the education field.
Well, I've been writing for some time now about human behavior more generally and issues pertaining to human behavior that have special relevance to schools and workplaces and families. So, for example, two of the books that I wrote are explicitly about business, managing employees and teaching students and raising children. Mm-hmm. One of those books called No Contest, The Case Against Competition, and the other one is called Punished by Rewards, that looks at the flaws of all uses of incentives to try to, quote, motivate people.
Mm-hmm. And we've gotten to talking to you today because it's been a recent topic on the blog, looking at incentives in education, and there's been a lot of discussion, and I wrote about what the Chicago Public Schools have been doing, I guess a number of other high-profile districts, in terms of paying students for good grades. So, you know, if you can explain, why is that a bad idea?
Well, we have to back up for a bit. First, that Chicago is only one of many districts doing some version of paying for grades or test scores now. Mm-hmm. And second, now is only one of many examples over the last few decades where various sorts of reward systems have been used to try to improve the performance of students and teachers, the latter being something that falls under the rubric of merit pay. And third, that in turn, you know, is only one example of various sort of techniques that are used in the workplace and the classroom, where we say to people, in effect, do this and you'll get that. Mm-hmm. Jump through these hoops and we'll give you a doggy biscuit for it. In the corporate world, of course, incentive plans and bonuses and pay for performance are still very, very common. Dangling, one thing that's unique about the latest plans for kids is that it sort of does double damage. Grades are already a reward and punishment system.
Right.
And the evidence shows that doesn't make any sense, and I'll explain why if you'd like. When you pay kids for good grades, you are giving them a reward for a reward.
Sure.
So you're really magnifying the harm. There's a whole book to try to sum up in a few sentences,
sure.
But let me say this. Rewards, like punishments, are ways of doing things to people,
mm-hmm.
whereas what tends to be much more effective is to work with people to try to set up reasonable goals,
mm-hmm.
and to solve problems collaboratively. If I threaten to punish you, do this or here's how I'm going to hurt you, it's obvious that I'm trying to control you.
Mm-hmm.
But if I say, if you do these things, I'll give you some goodie, it should be obvious, but isn't always, that that's just as manipulative.
Well,
and as it turns out, equally problematic, because rewards and punishments can only get one thing. and that is temporary compliance, but at a very high cost. So, for example, when you look at the research on grades themselves, I'm not even talking yet about, you know, extra rewards for good grades, but what happens if you take a bunch of kids and say, this is going to be counting for, this will count for a grade, and compare that to students who've been given the identical assignment with no grades involved, what tends to happen is that the students who are offered a grade and trying hard to get a good grade, three things tend to happen. One, they become less interested in whatever the task is and are less likely to want to think about and learn about that topic when they have a choice later. Second, students trying to get a good grade tend to pick the easiest possible task if they're given a choice. This is not because they're lazy, it's because they're rational. I mean, you know, clearly, if the goal now is not to understand an idea, but to get an A, then you're more likely to get an A if you're doing something really easy. And third, students tend to think in a shallower fashion, a more superficial way, when they're focused on getting a grade than when there's no grade involved. So that's why the best classrooms and schools do not give grades. They use other more substantive and less destructive ways of communicating information about what and how the student is doing. Now you really make things worse if you tell kids, not only are we going to dangle an A in front of you, but if you get enough A's, we're going to give you cash or some other goodie or something like that. You can almost watch students' interest in learning evaporate before your eyes when you use this kind of manipulative technique.
Yeah, and that's a real shame. And I'm glad you brought it back to that first point about grades in themselves being a reward. And you talk about offering goodies to people. You know, I guess lack of goodies is a different form of punishment.
Especially when you think you're going to get one and then don't.
Yeah, and I think what you're saying reminds me back to the writings of Dr. W. Edwards Deming, who is familiar to most of the listeners here. Dr. Deming was very straightforward in his books of saying abolish grades, that he locked it into all of the corporate rewards and incentives that he also railed against.
Yes, absolutely. You know, Dr. Deming is an expert in statistics, among other things, and yet he understood the limits of measurement. He also understood the limits of the difference between extrinsic motivation, when you're doing something to get a dollar or an A or a sticker or whatever it is, and intrinsic motivation, which is doing something because you get a bang out of it, because you want to do a quality job in the workplace, or because you want to figure out you know, why the character in this book left home, or figure out an elegant way to solve a math problem. To some extent, Dr. Deming understood, I think, that intrinsic and extrinsic motivation are not only different, but that they tend to be inversely related. More than 70 studies have found the more you reward people for doing something, the more they tend to lose interest in whatever they had to do to get the reward. And so that's why the best workplaces would never dream of having any kind of pay-for-performance system. Dr. Deming understood that what goes on in quality workplaces is you pay people well and you pay them fairly, and then you do everything you can to take money off of people's minds. Because if they come to work in the morning thinking, what hoops do I have to jump through to get more money, their commitment to quality and to their job will tend to be reduced. And that's because they're now thinking of it as just a means to an end. And that's exactly the same is true with children in school, with one important exception. And the important exception is, in the workplace, you have to pay people somehow. And so then you have to figure out a way to do that without pushing money into people's faces, so they're not, you don't make it conditional on what they do. In the classroom, there's nothing analogous to that, to money. You don't have to give students grades at all. And as I said, the best schools don't.
Well, you talk about intrinsic and extrinsic motivation. Some of the people have commented on the blog post who were sort of critical of this whole idea that, you know, that, that you're talking about, and I believe in very strongly. They were critical in asking, well, you know, what, we were talking about high school students at this point with the Chicago program. You know, what about students who don't have intrinsic motivation in high school? You know, why not pay them if it motivates them? That we need to look at people individually, and if some people want to learn for the sake of learning, then great. But, you know, why not pay some students if, you know, and this is in their words, I guess, you know, if that works, why not do that?
Well, number one, it only works at best, and often it doesn't work at all, but at best possible scenario, it works to get mindless obedience. So it works to get students to open a book and memorize facts for a test. But again, as I said, they will pick easier tasks, be less interested in the topic and learning in general, and will think less deeply. So even in the short run, you're likely to get to pay a very high price in terms of quality of education in order to get that obedience.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. Second, you know, some people may be visual learners and some auditory learners. There are different learning styles. But intrinsic and extrinsic motivation are not different styles. When people are extrinsically motivated more than intrinsic, that's not a style to be accommodated. That's a problem to be solved. Intrinsic motivation is what all parents and teachers are hoping for, and that's exactly what rewards tend to kill. So if by the time they get to high school, you get kids who don't seem excited about learning, and just say, you know, am I going to get a good grade or a test score, alarm bells should go off. Mm-hmm. That's not something where you say, well, for those students, let's continue feeding the fire here.
Right.
Rather, you figure out what did we do wrong and how can we reverse the damage. Now, I've written books about education, too, as have many other people, of course, that try to address the problem. How do we revive the intrinsic motivation, the curiosity that all students started out with? And there are various ways that can be done. First, you stop doing more damage mm-hmm. with rewards and punishments, but then there's things you have to do proactively. For example, if you're giving kids lectures and worksheets and quizzes and homework, where the point is to memorize facts and practice skills by rote, of course the intrinsic interest in those tasks is likely to be low. Most members of our species are not interested in filling out worksheets. I mean, that's not a fact about a problem, a lack of motivation on the part of the kids. That's an indictment of the curriculum and the style of instruction. And the more you do what people like Arnie Duncan are suggesting, keep the basic approach to teaching intact, leave the curriculum as it is, but bribe the kids to do it, the less likely it is that people are going to address and try to solve the underlying problems.
Yeah, and I'm laughing not because there's anything funny about this, but it's frustrating. It's unintentionally funny that
it seems
like that would people think that would work. So maybe to paraphrase what you're saying is, you know, by the time they get to high school, if their intrinsic motivation is gone, the real leverage point is to go back to early elementary school and figure out how to quit killing that intrinsic motivation.
That's absolutely right. But that's not to say it's a lost cause for the current high schoolers, because there's some really very terrific, interesting, exciting programs that are involved even in high school that can help to revive or resurrect that desire to learn.
Right.
You don't do it by bribing and threatening, and you don't do it by uncritically accepting the basic approaches to schooling that have gone on.
Yeah.
High schools are in, most high schools in the United States are not really places for learning. They're places for listening and coughing back information on command.
Yeah.
So, of course, kids say, well, you better give me an A for it.
Yeah.
You know, but then the question is, to what extent are they... are they real learners? Are they readers? Do they want to pick up a book? Do they have some excitement about creating a science experiment or understanding current events critically?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I say, it's a proposal like paying kids for good grades is multiply flawed. I mean, it doesn't help create learners. It actually does damage, first. And second, it doesn't solve the underlying problem, as Dr. Deming would say, the systemic problem mm-hmm. in the school and the school district and the culture. But third, it distracts us from solving the real problems by thinking that the problem is with the kids.
Yeah.
They are insufficiently motivated, so You know, let's give them a bigger doggy biscuit, and thus we'll have more generations given the same kind of outdated, unengaging kinds of teaching, and we'll have to keep jacking up the rewards to get them to do it.
Yeah. And you mentioned Arne Duncan. I wanted to ask about him. He was, I guess, what most of us would think of as superintendent. I guess somehow he ended up with the title of chief executive officer.
Telling that he ended up with that title. Yeah. You know, it says a lot about the corporate-style education that we think of as a good thing in this culture.
Yeah. So he was CEO of the Chicago Public Schools, President-elect Obama. Has nominated him to be Secretary of Education, so I guess it begs the question, is this going to be pushed as something that should be done nationwide in the name of maybe quote-unquote reform that we should pay students across the country?
Yeah, I fear it does, and that's only one thing that worries me about Arne Duncan and other big city superintendents who are more corporate managers than educators. You know, they are privatizing the management of many schools, militarizing many schools, as Arne Duncan has done. They talk about not about helping children to understand ideas and get excited about them, but they talk about competitiveness in the global economy as if that's what our primary purpose is for schooling children. Arne Duncan has no real understanding that I can see about better and worse ways of engaging students to make sense of ideas in classrooms. You know, he's not an educator himself. He's more interested in the sort of top-down bribe and threat, raise the test scores approach. He doesn't understand that sometimes when test scores go up, parents should be worried and should be asking, what did you have to sacrifice for my child's education to get that kid good at filling out a multiple choice exam? You know, so sometimes, in fact, these pay for performance programs for children are based on test scores, not grades. And there we've got, again, not just a bad method, but a bad end. Because we're not even using a counterproductive technique to achieve something valuable, like helping kids become good learners. Mm-hmm. We're using a counterproductive technique to raise scores on bad tests. You know, I wouldn't even want to use a better technique to achieve that goal, because standardized tests tend to measure what matters least.
Yeah.
That's something Dr. Deming understood as well, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he was consistent in his understanding of this and its application to learning. He used to teach I think a course in statistics at New York University, and he had to give them a grade at the end, and he said, you know, they should. He gave them all A's.
Yeah.
And when asked why would you do something like that, he said, I don't know if you ever heard him speak, but he used to speak in this sort of bullfrog monotone that would originate deep in his bowels, you know, and he would say, how do I know what grades the students deserve? I'm only grading the system.
Well, that's great. And I think we'll have to end on that point. Alfie Cohn, I want to thank you so much for joining us. It's exciting to have you here on the podcast. Certainly, we'll point people to your books via the blog, including Punished by Rewards, The Case Against Standardized Testing, as you might not be surprised to hear as a title, Beyond Discipline, From Compliance to Community. Real provocative thoughts and really timely. I appreciate you being here with us today.
Sure, that's my pleasure.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Lean Blog Podcast. For Lean news and commentary updated daily, visit www.leanblog.org. If you have any questions or comments about this podcast, email Mark at leanpodcast@gmail.com.